Most people in the world do not know what the name Jesus means. Do you? In our society, the name Jesus is most often a swear word. That blessed name, that name that is above all names, is thought to be something you say when you're angry, when you're excited, or you want to be emphatic. Do you use His name that way? Many children in this world do not know that Jesus is a person, a living person, God's own Son. No one talks that way, of course, about Muhammad, Allah, Charles Darwin, or Buddha. Their names are not swear words, but that name which alone can soothe our soul, Jesus. That's the name that people use for a swear word. The church world is hardly any better. The church doesn't know what the name Jesus means today either. It has something to do with salvation from injustice, from poverty, from a wheelchair. Or that name means that he wants to save, Jesus wants to save, but he cannot unless man lets him do so. Or he begins salvation, and you finish it up by the works of your merit or the merits of the church. Does anyone know what the name Jesus means? We ask in all the world, made by Jesus and made for Jesus, do you know what the name Jesus means? It is by grace that today we say, yes, I know what that name means. I not only know what His name means, but I know Him personally. Jesus means Savior. Jesus is my Savior from my sin, my evil rebellion against the Holy God, my depraved and ruined sin nature, which deserves God's eternal wrath. We sing, My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine, for Thee all the folly of sin I resign. Jesus saved me. He saved me completely from sin, from the punishment that my sin deserves, from the guilt of my sin. He died for that guilt upon a cross. He saves me from the power of sin, from the dominion, from the rule of sin, for I was sold unto sin, but He has set me free unto repentance and the grief over sin. Jesus saves me from the presence of sin. Imagine that. Soon He will take me to a world, to Beulah land, to the heavenly Canaan, where I will not have one stain of iniquity, and I will never sin again. Is Jesus your Savior? Do you believe that all salvation is of Him? Do you want to be holy? Do you want to be like Him? What do you want from Jesus? In Luke 12, verse 13, a man came and said, Master, Jesus, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. Is that what you want from Jesus? Social justice. Maybe you say, make my child better. Change things that I can't handle. Bring me a better job. Maybe you want deliverance from trouble, and sorrows, and burdens. Jesus is a Savior from sin. First, we must know our great and desperate need. Then we know who Jesus is. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Jesus is my Savior. The name Jesus literally means Jehovah's salvation. Now, children, if you're listening, here's something for you to remember and tell Mom and Dad tonight when they put you in bed. Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, the J-E, Jehovah. It means Jehovah, and therefore Jesus is God. S-U-S means saves, or delivers from all my sin. So that Jesus means Jehovah, saves. And there's a verse to go with that. Matthew 1, verse 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And here's another one. Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus, then, is a Savior from sin. He's the only one. There is no one else who can save from sin. So no one else can ever bear his name. He is unique. Jesus saved us by his sinless life. We of ourselves could never stand before a holy God, but Jesus gave himself over to the cross to wash away the sins in which we were conceived and born. He wove a robe of righteousness for us to wear to all eternity. And Jesus arose from the dead, and he opens dead hearts, and he plants his life into those hearts, into all the hearts of the elect of God. Acts 16, verse 14, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And now Jesus is ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God with power from God to rule over all, and we need him to do that. Christ must rule the universe if he is to save us, because we are sinful and the world is evil. But all things, we read in the Bible, are placed under Jesus' feet so that they serve our salvation. Hebrews 7, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him." And still more, Jesus must come again, or the work of his salvation is not completed. And he will appear one more time upon the clouds of glory to bring salvation to its conclusion. Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now we have seen that Jesus saves us from our sin, but we must also see that he saves us to someone else. Salvation is not simply deliverance from something, sin, but it is deliverance unto something, to the highest good, which is God. Jesus saves us to covenant fellowship with God, or put it this way, Jesus takes us from the depth of iniquity into the bosom of God, out of sin's chains to the service of God, out of sin's grip to God's arms, out of the miry clay, Psalm 40, and sets our feet upon a rock. And all of this is of God, of God's grace alone. So that we must add one more proposition that the Bible uses. Jesus saves us from sin. Jesus saves us to God, because God has put us, and here's the preposition, in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:31, "But of God are ye in Christ Jesus." God of mere mercy places us in Christ. Colossians 2 verse 8, "Ye are complete in him." We are placed in Christ eternally before we were born by a decree and choice, a sovereign good pleasure of God, even before the heavens were made. Ephesians 1 verse 3. We were in Christ at the cross. We belonged to him there. And we were in Christ when the Holy Spirit makes us alive. And we are in Christ now, so that we say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me," and we are in Christ in death. Christ is in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. The blessed name of Jesus means, "This is the one who is Jehovah's salvation, who delivers us from sin to God, because God has put us in him." And this truth of Jesus is vital for you and for me. Vital because, first of all, there are times when we are plagued with guilt. Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin." We have committed grievous and foolish and repeated sins. And our wickedness has ruined things and brought reproach upon Christ's name and his church, and the awfulness of our sin is before us day and night, so that we say with the psalmist in Psalm 73, "So foolish was I." Now it can never be the same. Someone perhaps has caught you, seen you. It's so horrible, you don't want anyone to know. But now you must say, Jesus. Jesus saves me from awful guilt. Jesus washes me, and He imputes to me His perfect righteousness. And we fall at His feet and say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? We must know the name Jesus, secondly, because we have struggles against indwelling sin. We have sinful lusts and evil thoughts, and they burst out sometimes, and they boil within. We can be cruel or some other besetting sin, and the Holy Spirit shines within us, and we see the depth of evil within our own hearts. There is no sin that we cannot imagine. There is no sin to which we cannot sink. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. And when we see that evil nature, that sin against which you struggle, then you must say, Jesus. He will save me from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6, verse 14. Jesus saves so that I hate, fight, resist evil within me. I will not criticize my Savior, but I will flee to Him. Still more, there are times we fear that we will fall away. Maybe you fear that today. Will I survive the temptation that is before me? Will sin, Satan, and the world prove to be too much to handle? Maybe some hardships, some evil in my life, it will come and it will be just too much and I'll renounce Him. Then too, you must say Jesus. You must remember the blessed name. He will not turn back. He cannot deny Himself. He abides faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13. And then maybe you wonder about heaven and glory, and you say, will I actually go there? The moment of death will be a reality check. I'm a sinner. Can God love me? Will God take me? Then you must say one name, just one name, Jesus. And having begun His work, He will give you the whole lot. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Be it in a hospital, be it at home, be it a sudden death, Jesus saves. You can almost say that all of our theology and all of our faith is one word, Jesus. When you have searched the depths of the Scriptures, when you've gazed at the wonders of God, when you've gone through a whole life of living by faith, you can really say that it comes down to one word, Jesus. That's it. Give me Jesus. You can have all the world. But give me Jesus. It's just that simple. And yet it is that profound because God takes 66 books in the Bible to explain one name, Jesus. And in that name is all the wonder of the glory of God's grace. Acts 7 verse 55, we read of Stephen, but he being full of the Holy Spirit and looking up steadfastly into heaven saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He did not see two things, the glory of God and then Jesus. No, he saw the glory of God in Jesus. And it has taken the church 2,000 years since Jesus ascended up into heaven to come to a little understanding of the wonderful name of Jesus. And that's what we're doing in this program. And that's why you ought to go and are called to go to church every Sunday. That's why God puts us through trials and difficulties in life when things don't go our way. God wants to teach you. He wants to teach you what the name Jesus means. That's why we must have preaching, sound biblical preaching in the church, because we want to know Jesus. Jesus tells us who God is, who man is, what our problem is, and the end of all things. And then, think of this, the entire body of the church triumphant to all eternity will still not fathom Jesus, because He is the marvel of God's grace. He shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, verse 21. When the angel Gabriel told Joseph that, Joseph had first concluded that Mary, his espoused wife, had been unfaithful to him and was pregnant, but then the angel told him, no, the child is of the Holy Spirit, and when you come to name this baby, the right of naming this baby goes to the Father, Joseph, not to you. It goes to his Father, God, and God has picked the name for this baby, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's a promise. He shall. We're dealing with a promise of God. That's what God said Jesus will do. Do you believe that promise? That's our calling when God gives us a promise. And when God gives us a promise through an angel, you better believe the promises that God gives through an angel. If you have any questions about that, ask Zacharias, who did not believe a promise given to him through an angel and didn't talk for 9 months. Do you believe? God's promises are to be believed. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. He shall save you. He shall save his people. So it is a particular promise. He does not come to save all people head for head. He does not come to offer or to attempt to save, but he will save his people. And that's exactly what he does. And that's exactly what he will do. And that's exactly what he always has done. And that's what he is doing now. Do you believe that? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. 2 Timothy chapter 2:19, having this seal, the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil. His people are the ones whom the Father hath given to me. John 6:36. They are the elect from all eternity. Romans 8, verses 29 and 30, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, which is Jesus. Now another way of saying that is Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. He will save. Now that's a powerful particular promise. No one will have any success in stopping him. He will save even the weakest and most fearful believer, and he will do it. No helpers, no auxiliaries, no hangers-on. Not, well, he will want to, but he can't, unless you cooperate and open the door of your heart to let him in. No, he will save his people. He does not say he and a legion of angels. He does not say he plus his mother Mary. He does not say he plus a lot of dead people from the Middle Ages, St. Christopher and Patrick. He does not say he and holy water or he and sacraments. No. He does not say he and the will of the sinner if the sinner will please wake up. No. Just him. He does it all without any helpers because he's powerful. He will save his people from their sins. He will come by his Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of each one of his children, to release them from the debt, the awful debt of sin, and to release them from the power, the horrible power of sin, and make them free. He is a precious Savior. And so we go in confidence today. The powerful, particular promise of salvation is for the whole church. 10,000 times 10,000, a multitude no man can number, gathered out of the most unlikely places, gathered in mercy alone, saved by Jesus. God calls us to trust Jesus, to honor Jesus, to glorify him. Now perhaps we're not so much in danger today of trusting in idols. or in trusting in relics. And perhaps today, by wonderful grace, you see that the doctrine of free will is a false doctrine. And perhaps you confess that Jesus is a complete Savior by His mighty grace, and you find all things necessary for your salvation in Him. But then you must not look for salvation in yourself. You must resist every ounce of pride. You must trust Jesus alone. We confess Jesus alone, all our salvation is in Jesus. He is the only deliverer, and to believe in Him means that you trust Him alone, or you don't believe in Him at all. That's the gospel. Jesus only. We have to look within ourselves today. Do you trust in anyone or anything other than Jesus for acceptance with God and for salvation? It's very easy to sing, "Nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling." But where do you go for comfort and for assurance? Do you say, "But I'm not as bad"? "But I did." Do you say, "At least I didn't do what he did"? Where do you look? Where do you look when your sins appear? Where do you go? Look to Jesus. With little boys and little girls, tonight we lay down our heads to sleep and we remember the name of Jesus. And what does that name mean? It means Jehovah's salvation. He is my Savior. He alone is my Savior. I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for Jesus is my Savior. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the precious Word of God. We pray that the Holy Spirit may seal that Word of God within our hearts. In Jesus' name, Amen.